Hello, Mark Mangini. Congratulations.
Wow, that's a great way to be greeted. You don't even know me. Cut it out.
I don't even know you, but I know your work.
Oh, you're so kind.
Well, congratulations again, Mark. You had a very difficult task here. You're on the Board of Governors for Sound.
Yep, that's right.
And how does that impact getting yourself nominated?
Well, let's be very clear. I don't try to get myself nominated, and hopefully no one else does either. The goal is for all of us to do exceptional sound work and have it be recognized on the merits mm-hmm. by our peers. So, my goal is to just put my nose to the grindstone and do the coolest shit in town, and hopefully, you know, I get a phone call from a buddy who just came back from the Arclight and says, man, I just heard Mad Max. It sounded unbelievable. So that's my approach. Maybe others approach it differently. You know, being a governor makes it a little delicate because you might assume that because I'm a governor of the Sound Branch, I have some kind of influence over these decisions, which I don't. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I must be very cautious at all times to never give the appearance that I would have some kind of influence over these awards, which I don't.
Well, having said that, this is sound that is cooler than shit.
That's great. That's the byline. Let's put cooler than shit.
The sound design on Mad Max Fury Road is just amazing.
Thank you.
As subtle as the sound is with the Revenant, this is the polar opposite with vibrancy and, you know, incredible energy.
And I would also like to add inventiveness because, you know, whereas Revenant takes place in a world we kind of recognize, Mad Max doesn't.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the interesting things with Mad Max as well, because we're now revisiting this character, you know, 40-some years after George and Mel brought it to life.
Yeah.
Does that impact you in your work when you have something so beloved as part of the franchise and now it's been reinvigorated, rebooted, and technology is now what it is?
Mm. You know, the way it impacts me is that I feel an even greater responsibility to do it justice. Mm. I know it is a beloved franchise, and that there's just an even greater pressure to serve it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not to say that on every film I don't take my job seriously, but I guess there's this extra level of concern because we want to maintain a franchise that's so beloved with the hopes that there'll be another. So it's incumbent upon us to do as good a job as possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is now your fourth nomination.
Correct.
Does this get all, and each film that you've been nominated for is as diverse as the next. I mean, from Fifth Element, which I still think is one of the best sound designs, sound cuts out there on a film.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek IV and even Aladdin.
Yeah, very different films. You know, I'll say in regards to the Fifth Element and this, and you've been effusive in your praise of both of these soundtracks, there's a sort of a unifying theme between Fifth Element and Mad Max, and that is the director. On both films, Luc Besson and George Miller were the consummate collaborators. They were directors who valued the contribution of everyone they surrounded them with, mm-hmm. themselves with, and then stepped away and let everyone do what they do. They let us do our thing without micromanaging. And that's a rarity in my world, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to just pre-associate, to think, to create, make mistakes, mm-hmm. try and try again with the knowledge that both of these gentlemen appreciated everything that I brought to their films.
Yeah, what was the most challenging part of the sound edit on Mad Max? Because it's very intricate.
It's extraordinarily intricate, and our success is as much a function of our creativity and hard work, and a great deal of time was put into the movie, but it's also a function of the amount of time we put into the design and the mix of the movie. Whereas on a normal film, you might be given you know, picking out of the blue, 4 months of prep and a two-month mix, we quadrupled that.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with George's belief in the value and the contribution that sound makes to his storytelling. And that's where we began and ended with the success of this movie, which is we would comb through the movie with George. That is to say, David White, my co-nominee, Chris Jenkins, and Greg Rudloff, the re-recording mixers, we would just like polishing a fine piece of furniture, and you know, you use the finer and finer grit of sandpaper every version you go. We would constantly refine this film and look for new ways to improve it without ever asking ourselves or telling ourselves we're done. Because we never thought we were done, and we just kept at it like dogs with a bone, trying to make it as perfect as we could make it, always discovering new approaches. And I'll give you an example if you'd like me to give you
one. I would love it.
So one of my favorite sound moments in the movie was one of these lovely sort of accidental discoveries that we would happen upon every day. Last week of the mix, after months of sound mixing, we're in the big chase scene, the set piece at the end of the movie where Immortan Joe is chasing Furiosa in the war rig. And Mad Max climbs up on top of the war rig, and he has one of his blackout moments. This is a narrative theme that we're stringing through the movie of these flashbacks that he's having. And he falls down onto the war rig and loses consciousness and then jumps up and fights some more. I thought at that moment, it just struck me out of the blue, well, you know, the sound should have a blackout too. Why don't we just take all the sound out? And that's exactly what we did. We sucked every decibel of sound out of the track. It was quite a complex move mechanically to do this, to give the audience the sense that the sound is tracking the narrative. That was not scripted. That wasn't even George's idea. That was just me sitting next to George and on a whim saying, hey, George, what if we tried this? What does that say about this beat in the movie? And he said, well, yes, of course, this is exactly what's happening with Max. Why shouldn't the sound be telling that part of the story?
And it's an extremely powerful moment.
Yeah, it really feels, for me, it feels like the bottom drops out from under you, like when you crest the hill on a roller coaster, you know, and you just get that moment of weightlessness. That's what I wanted to achieve.
Well, and any, you know, everybody has periodic moments where they forget what they're going to say, or their mind just goes into a spin, and you're oblivious. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything around you.
Yeah.
And it is like being in a vacuum with all the sound sucked out.
That's what we did.
Absolutely.
And we would find that by way of example, that moment showed how we could continually invigorate the soundtrack with new ideas that no one had thought of. They just kept occurring to us. We just kept trying them and improving as we went.
Well, you certainly hit your stride here, let me tell you.
Thanks.
So now, does it ever get old? Do the Oscar nominations ever get old for you?
No, never. Honestly, I mean, I suppose it's easy to assume that after a few, you feel like it's old hat. But I can tell you, I was every bit as nervous. I was at the Sam Goldwyn for the live telecast.
Mm-hmm.
With my wife, and I was every bit as nervous waiting for the guys to read, you know, open the envelope and say, "And for sound editing," as I was the first time. And it's, for as silly as this sounds, it's torture. I mean, God forbid anyone else should have these kinds of problems nominated for an Oscar. But nonetheless, the emotional toll is quite large because, you know, like Sally Field says, you loved me, or you love me. What does she say in that famous sentence?
Yes, it's you like me. You really like me.
You like me. You really like me. And there's this sort of like binary equation where either you really like me, but if you don't, you feel like you're worthless. I mean, none of us should have, we should all have better self-esteem than that. But I think most people in the creative arts are just a little less secure about these things. So when you don't hear your name, it's like, oh, that hurts. You know?
Especially on a film like this that is so challenging and so accomplished.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I knew the moment I started this film, this was going to be a real a challenger for one of the sound awards. I mean, you never really know, but we knew the potential was there, and mm-hmm. all of us were excited to try to explore it and exploit it.
So now, if you get a little golden boy on the 28th, mm-hmm. where are you going to put him?
Well, funny you should ask. The the home that I bought 13 years ago has an alcove pre-built for just a simple little shelf and a display case for it. So it's been sitting waiting for the little golden guy for 13 years. I hope I can fill it this year.
Well, that sure would be nice. And I'm so glad you didn't tell me you were going to put it on the back of your toilet tank in the powder room or something.
No, I'm not that guy. nor am I the guy that's going to parade it all over town like the Stanley Cup. I'll just be quietly proud of it here at home. And that's all it needs to be. It's quite meaningful to me because the honor is in knowing that my peers nominated me,
yeah,
and to know that other professionals that I respect and adore and admire and am jealous of thought enough to include me in this group is just, it's pretty overwhelming. It really makes you feel like Jim Cameron. It makes you feel like, you know, I'm king of the world or whatever the hell it,
yep,
is. But you get to feel like that for a minute.
Well, and just think how jealous so many of your peers are today when your name got called.
I don't mean to cause jealousy, but I'm happy to receive this nomination.
Oh, Mark, I can't thank you enough for taking time to talk to me today. I know you've got a luncheon to go to, and you've got other crap to do, and other people to talk to. This has been a thrill.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Mark, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm honored, and thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, anytime, Mark, and fingers crossed for the 28th.